G'day to our online crowd, g'day to everyone in the room, and I just need to acknowledge right now that there's a 90s child in me that's expecting Mulder and Scully to come out now. Anybody else? For all those under the age of whatever I am, that's an X-Files reference. That or that Robert Miles dance track, there's the musical reference for you all and I just lost half the crowd. Doesn't matter. For freedom you have been set free. Everyone say, for freedom, you have been set free. For freedom, you have been set free. That is Galatians 5. Everyone just say Galatians 5. Here's your memory verse, Galatians 5. For freedom, you were set free. If you say that to one of the elders at the end of the service, you get a gold sticker. Galatians chapter 5. It's in that context that Paul writes in the New Testament, he's reminding the people of the history of their story, of a God who is faithful through generations, of a God who has quite literally spread the waters to let them walk through, has helped them survive through deserts and storms and trials and wars and all those sorts of things. And it reminds us that Jesus came to set us free. Congratulations, gold star. Do we have enough gold stars for everybody? Somebody organize that. We'll get to the kids team. Maybe a scratch and sniff. Anybody? Scratch and sniff. I love scratch and sniffs. If you ever gave me a scratch and sniff, does anyone know what a scratch and sniff is? Yes, right? My great Mrs. Lees in grade 6. I'd like big shout out to Mrs. Lees in grade 6 from Currumburra Primary School. Thank you for the scratch and sniff. It has carried me all these years. Anyway, Galatians 5 verse 1 says, for freedom you have been set free. Now, freedom is a fantastic concept and we like the idea of freedom. And we think that freedom is a choice that others make for us and we fight against them to get our own freedoms, right? So it's like at the moment you're seeing those political battles of like the lines are drawn and we push from one side to the other and we try to get more freedoms for ourselves. But we know that by getting more freedoms for ourselves, somebody else is losing. Anyone that's attempted an online argument in the last 6 months, hopefully you've shut down your account now. Because what you think is right and what another person thinks is right doesn't always line up. What you think is just and what another person thinks is just doesn't quite line up. Ergo, what you think is freedom and what another person thinks is freedom is a human argument. When the scripture says, for freedom you have been set free, it reminds us that Jesus didn't come to overthrow the Roman emperor or the Roman army or any of the governance that was going on at the time. In fact, scripture talks to us about he raises up who he raises up and he takes down who he takes down. And we stand in the mystery of that and it's frustrating, but that's what mystery does. What the scripture teaches us is we are trying to get to a place of freedom within ourselves. And as you get a little older, things become a little more complex and you realize that the black and the white turns to a lot of gray, a lot of gray. And between the idea of being set free, if you're a Christian and you said a prayer of confession at some point and you said, Jesus in my life, and somebody said to you, congratulations, you've been set free. But today you're not walking in freedom. You need to understand there's a long walk between being set free and walking free. There's a walk between being set free because anybody that knows, maybe you've done some time, you know, in prison. I've known people who have done time in prison. And I walked with a guy for a couple of years after he got out because the adjustment of after being set free and getting back into society and getting back into the culture around him and forgetting his past was a really big deal. It was a really big deal because there's a difference between being set free and walking free. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But for freedom, you were set free. So to all of those that are within the sound of my voice right now, I want to tell you that the gospel is a gospel of truth that sets you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's a way to life. You just need truth in the middle, right? And the truth is this, you are chosen. You are called. You are a child of God. And when you soften your heart to acknowledge that, you get to escape from the binds that held you, from the things that held you back. And then you get the privilege to walk in his presence and learn to live in freedom. I say learn to live in freedom because it is a learning journey. You don't just break the shackles and then go, great, I figured it all out. Now you need to walk in a culture of freedom amongst a people who are walking free and share your faith with one another. It says build each other up in the faith. So your memory verse again is Galatians 5:1, for freedom you have been set free. Go to Psalm 106 with me. Psalm 106. It's on about page 338. Or in a digital Bible, you just say, give me Psalm 106. That's all right. Have you guys got a Bible in front of you? I've got some scriptures on the thing. But here's what I love about you guys actually having the scripture in front of you. There are going to be things that jump off the page to you that speak to you deeper than any words I could say. Okay? So it's part of our encouragement to you is to get into the Word. Quick shout out for all of those who have used the Quiet Time tool. If you haven't used the Quiet Time tool, give it a shot. It's on the website. It's on the app. It's a few verses a day, and it just helps you get that discipline of getting into the Word. Psalm 106 starts with this word, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. Come on. It means praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is, His love endures. Well done. So many gold stars this morning. Who can declare the Lord's mighty acts or proclaim all the praise due to Him? How happy are those who uphold justice, who practice righteousness at all times. How happy are those who uphold justice and practice righteousness. Uphold justice is something you've got to uphold. And practice righteousness. Remember me, Lord, the psalmist writes, when you show favor to your people, come to me with your salvation, so that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, rejoice in the joy of your nation, and boast about your heritage. That's very important. Not boast about my heritage, boast about your heritage. Remember, this is not about my story, it's about His glory, yeah? This is what it says. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have done wrong and have acted wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not grasp the significance of your wondrous works. Or remember your many acts of faithful love. Instead, they rebelled at the Red Sea, the Sea of Reeds. Yet He saved them for His name's sake to make His power known. Let's just quickly have a look at that. In verse 3, it says, how happy are those who uphold justice, who practice righteousness at all times. They are the people that are happy. They are the people that have remembered. They are the people that have understood that God has got them to hear, they haven't done it themselves. They are the people that stand in a freedom that acknowledges God's history, not their own story. And they understand that their story is only because of God's faithfulness. Now, the psalmist reflects and says, what about those people? Remember those people who rebelled against you at the Red Sea? What had they done? Why did they rebel? Pastor Stan preached it last week. They had simply forgotten. It's pretty straightforward, simply forgotten. Ever get up from the lounge room chair, go into the kitchen, you know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get that snack. It's probably, in my case, about midnight, and the Holy Spirit whispers to me, bacon. You get up and you go to the fridge and you open the fridge and think, what am I doing here? Why was I here? What am I doing here? For all those parents trying to get kids out the door in the morning, have you got your shoes? Have you got your socks? Have you got food? Are you clothed? You can't walk out there. We're forgetful people. And if we can forget simple things like that, we can also forget complex things about our history and about the shoulders of giants that we're standing on and about the testimonies that have got us to here. Because between being set free and being free is a long walk. And it's a slow walk. There's no rush to this thing. God will teach you in His time. We are forgetful people. Why did they rebel? Simply because they had forgotten. Yet, verse 8, He saved them for His name's sake, not their story, His glory, to make His power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up, and He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the power of the adversary. He redeemed them from the power of the enemy. Water covered their foes. Not one of them remained. Then they believed His promise and sang His praise. Imagine going through a whole series of events where you are a slave. You had no choice over that. You have to work. You have no choice over that. You only eat what you are given. You have no choice over that. And then one day, a guy who used to be a prince, a ruler in the region, who disappeared a little while ago, comes back and says, I'm going to set you free. God has told me to come and set you free. And a whole bunch of things happen. And if you remember back through the Exodus testimony, you'll remember that God moved in some pretty powerful ways and showed himself off in such public ways that you could not deny that that was God at work. And then when the Pharaoh finally did relent and let them go, as they were leaving, the people of Egypt were giving them riches and giving them blessings. And essentially, they went out with more than what they came in with. Now they get sent along a seashore because God said to them, I'm not going to send you along the path of the Philistines because you are not ready for battle. You have been slaves for many, many generations, and you are not an army, you are simply a refugee people. And they walk out, and God saves them by not taking them the short way. Remember, Pastor Stan preached this. He's going to take them the long way because there's a whole lot of generational change that needs to happen. I hate the long way. Anybody? Can we get there now? In fact, can we be there yesterday? That would be great. You know, I watch when you're eating bacon at midnight watching TV and you see those ads where the image comes up and it says, scientists have discovered the easiest way to get rid of fat. Just stay watching for the next forever until we give you the tip, and then they sign you up to something. And there's that little glimmer of hope that says, maybe scientists have and just nobody knew. Maybe I'm the only one watching Channel 47 at midnight, and I'm going to get the secret, and I'm going to get there sooner. Between being set free and living free is a long walk. There's no shortcuts. And God is protecting you in the long walk. And he's taking you that way because he knows what you can handle. He knows what you have in your kit bag, and he's not going to give you any test that you are going to fall under the pressure of. And that's why he gives us a faithful community around us to hold us up. Yeah? Okay. So here it is. They've forgotten. They've forgotten to sing. They've forgotten to praise. And they get to the edge of the sea. And in fact, they've been told by God via Moses to turn around and park themselves in this part of the Red Sea where there is no escape. No escape whatsoever. And they literally turn around to Moses, who has just led them through this whole process, miracle after miracle after miracle, being set free, carrying all the riches and the wealth out of Egypt. And they stand in this place and they say, weren't there enough graveyards in Egypt? Why didn't we just stay there and die? Do you know what? You can forget in all sorts of ways. You can forget in all sorts of ways because there is no way they wanted to die in Egypt. None of them wanted to die in Egypt. Every one of them hoped for a better tomorrow. Every one of them hoped for the promise to be fulfilled, that God would be faithful to his word, faithful to his covenant, and that they would find their way out again. And yet they stand in that place and they forget what God has done. As Psalm 106 testifies, they forgot what you had done. And it wasn't until this point where they're standing there, and Pastor Stan preached it last week, and Moses stands there in front of the people and he says, stand still, be quiet, watch what God will do. Stand still, be quiet, watch what God will do. If Galatians 5:1 is true, then something about what happens next is going to connect with that thought, that for freedom you have been set free. Because your testimony of freedom only echoes if you've actually walked into a place of freedom. There are plenty of people walking around saying, I am a Christian, and that they look more captive than anybody I've ever met before. That's why religion kills, but relationship lifts up, right? We are not here to add rules to your life. We are here to point you to Jesus and give you a relationship with him. Because the light that comes when you meet Jesus can be snuffed out by the world around you. Yes, it can. But it can also be snuffed out by really, really grumpy religious people. None of you. For freedom, you have been set free. And there's this beautiful moment. And I think I've got it on the screen there for you, actually. In Exodus 14. They're waiting. And the Lord has given Moses instruction. And in verse 19, it says, the angel of God who was going in front of the Israelite forces moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved in front of them and stood behind them. It came between the Egyptian and Israelite forces. There was cloud and darkness. It lit up the night, and neither group came near each other all night long. There was enough time at night for them to cross over. Now, there still wasn't a pathway to cross over, but there was enough time. But they needed God to intervene in a whole lot of ways. Anybody ever seen shadow art? Shadow art is this, just Google it after the service. It's fantastically fun to watch. But sculptors and artists take random objects. They take rubbish and all sorts of things, and they just place them in shapes that look to the naked eye. You just look at the stuff, and it just looks like a pile of randomness. But then they shine a light on it from a particular angle, and the shadow that's cast provides a beautiful picture. It's a stunning art form. My brain can't quite get my head around it. Because when you look at the physical object, it looks like a complete mess. But when the light is put on the right angle, it completely makes sense. For freedom, you have been set free. And that's why so many times we stand in the middle and go, everything I'm seeing is chaos, God. Everything I'm seeing is chaos. Everything I'm seeing just looks like a pile of dung, pile of rubbish. He says, that's because you haven't got enough light in your life. See, what the angel of the Lord did was got between the nation of Israel and the army of Pharaoh and caused confusion through darkness and caused freedom through light. Confusion through darkness, freedom through light. And the scripture recalls that a big east wind blew and held back the walls of the water, and they walked over on dry ground. We don't have time to go into how incredible all of that is, but you need to understand, first of all, that it is incredible. But ultimately, here's what's happening. Bright light at night. Miraculous. Confusion behind them. Miraculous. Wind blowing. Miraculous. Walls up. Miraculous. But guess what? They haven't done anything yet. The choice of the person living in freedom is to walk forward. I can't tell you how many times my obedience was hampered by my doubt, my troubled heart, my this isn't fair, all of my this is not just. And yet Psalm 106 says, blessed are those who uphold righteousness. Upholding righteousness is a heavy load to bear sometimes. And stepping forward is a dangerous thing to do sometimes in your faith walk. And so the way I imagine it is kind of like behind them, the Egyptians are seeing all the scrap and all the rubbish, and it's not making sense, and they can't do anything because it's dark. But the Israelites are standing in the bright and glorious light of their God. And before them is an open path. There is wind blowing. What happens when wind blows between either side of your ears? Sort of messes with your balance, right? You can't really do much. Messes with your balance, and it does a whole lot of, it's a bit discomforting. I'm trying to imagine what it would have been like to have an east wind, a mad east wind blowing with walls of water and sand in front of you, and then deciding to walk. Everything about our faith journey is that next decision. Because here's what I understand about the gospel. Everybody gets to hear it, and everybody gets to respond to it, and not everybody does. I feel like so many times I'm saying, there's freedom, there's joy, blessed are those who walk, blessed are those that uphold righteousness and practice integrity and all these kinds of things. And here's my testimony. My testimony is one of God moving and changing and all those kinds of things, and yet they stand at the shore and they don't walk. Here's kind of how I understand it. I can't do anything about yesterday. I can't do anything about tomorrow. I'm just here today. And His word, as Psalm 119 says, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if I've got His word in me, I've got a lamp at my feet. Just there. If Jesus is who He said He was, if He is the Alpha and Omega, part of the Godhead, the beginning and the end, then between His beginning and His end, which we don't know, is us. Between me and yesterday is Jesus. And between me and tomorrow is Jesus. So my job is to turn my eyes upon Jesus. To me, the entire challenge of faith is to take your eyes off the injustice of what has happened to you that you had no control over, and humbly bring yourself to the one who wants to lead you. The title of this message today was What to Do with Impossible Problems. Have you got an impossible problem? Maybe something you've been trying to solve relationally for a long time. Maybe something, you know, amongst you, I don't know, there's something coming to your mind right now, an impossible problem. And you've thought about it and you've tried to fix it. I've tried to fix it too. And in trying to do it my way, I've caused myself more pain and potentially others as well. So I ask you this question. What's impossible? And I would say that the thing that is impossible is everything outside of your control. Where's God? God is outside of your control. Your impossible is outside of your control. God is outside of your control. Here's the good news. You have access to the control room. You have access to the control room. Now, mind, you don't get to go in and play with the controls. You get to bring your story so that he gets the glory. That's how it always works. You don't need to be a hero. You need to humble yourself and understand that the miracle has already occurred, that the sacrifice of Jesus has already happened, that the covenant has already been made with creation, that he is here to redeem creation to himself. And here's the posture of Moses as he stands at the edge of that sea and he's trying to... How do you organize a million of your closest relatives? I mean, just for the admin people out there, there's some miraculous admin that went on in that session. But picture this. God makes it literally impossible for them to go back and completely possible to go forward, and brings them into alignment because there's an east wind blowing and there's walls of water and there's sand, and straight across there is freedom. And Moses does one thing. He stretches out his hands. And that's the visual cue to walk. Everything about your faith journey starts with that. There's a moment of surrender and there's a walk. And then there's another moment of surrender and then there's a walk. What's impossible? Everything outside of your control. Where's God? Outside of your control. What's the good news? You have access to the control room through Jesus. For freedom, you have been set free. Where's that psalm? I love that. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. I question myself every day. Am I disciplined enough to stop, recognize that between me and yesterday is Jesus, that between me and tomorrow is Jesus, that I don't have to control tomorrow and I can't do anything about yesterday, but all I can do is bring my story to him and say, God, I hope you get some glory out of my walk today. Even if it's just a baby step today. Maybe it's a baby step of at least trying to forgive that person. Maybe it's a baby step of at least trying to give more of yourself. Maybe it's a baby step of turning off Netflix and opening a Bible There's this wonderful meme that goes around amongst all the music groups, and it's a meme that goes, somebody asked a musician, how did you get so good? And they go, practice. And they go, it must be an innate gift. No, it's practice. Oh, it must be God-given. No, it's practice. It's practice. You don't get good at anything without practice. You don't get good at knowing anything internally without practice. So here's the thing. Israel's journey doesn't go smoothly from here, and it keeps hitting speed bumps along the way. But this is how you escape impossible problems. You stand still, raise your hands in surrender, ask God for a path, and then when He lights it up, be obedient. And the obedience for you today and for you online, maybe there's something coming to your heart right now. Maybe it is about texting that person and saying, I'm sorry. Without a qualifier. Not a husband apology. I'm sorry if you feel that way. No. No, I'm just sorry. Here's what I've understood is it doesn't seem to matter how much I try, how much I stop and think. I do not understand your story. So I can never make complete compensation for my story to intermingle with yours and for us not to butt heads at some point. When I first took the calling to this church, I sat down with the elders. Have we got Suze? Is she coming? You're a legend. Suze brings the Holy Spirit, so be careful. Could you play that Holy Spirit chord? Everyone's a comedian. I sat in a room out there with the elders and they said, what would you do if you and Stan got into a fight? I said, I'll tell you when we get there. I don't know if Stan would say, we've had moments. Because sometimes he's just wrong. I'm sorry, but he's wrong. Love you, Stan. Stan just booked a flight back. Here's the thing. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know that I can practice walking in the light. I know that I can practice singing His praises. I know that I can practice bearing that burden of righteousness and letting that burden understandably be lighter than the one I try to carry, which is the one where I try and fix the world. Remember, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Do you actually believe that? It's actually really important that you believe that you can find rest. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is, and His love endures